The following is a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. Hollywood, redefined. From Los Angeles, California, streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is Black Hollywood Live,
The Branded Athlete, featuring in-depth interviews with and commentary on today's biggest and most successful athletes.
Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood, redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host of Black Hollywood Live,
The Branded Athlete.
Ah, they put it in with
The music don't start till.
So we're getting ready to turn up to an original.
You gotta take it back into it. Come on, man, don't cheat, my man. He from H-Town, man, bring it back. There we go, bring it back.
You gotta hear.
I heard they got French's chicken in this video. I'm going down.
Keep pushing.
Hey.
It's time going down.
Hey, please don't mess up the song. Let it rock. Let it rock.
Guys, you're watching The Branded Athlete, and you are listening to Daniel Booby Gibson's song playing in the background, because we have Booby Gibson in the house.
Yeah.
A round of applause.
Right.
Whoa.
Every Thursday night, 7 o'clock, you can find all of us here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at BHL Online, on Instagram at The Branded Athlete. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Twitter, Periscope, Snapchat, and Instagram at Erica Renee D.
What up? You know who I am. Andre Dean. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Andre the Giant, AundreTheGiant. You dig?
What's up, everyone? This is Raina Ale. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale.
It's me, JJ the Talented. Find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Periscope. And give me a reason to get a Snapchat at JJ the Talented on social media.
Oh, you're on Snap now.
What is up, y'all?
I'm not there yet. I'm just saying, if people,
Maybe. Look, how y'all doing there? Everybody have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Happy
Thanksgiving to everybody. We got a special guest. It is my honor. Being from the H-Town, we got my man Daniel Booby Gibson. 7 years in the NBA. 7 seasons, should I say. Yeah. Got a new joint right now out called Keep Pushing. That joint is on his SoundCloud. Check it out. See what it is. UT alumni, too, man. True Texas cat, man. What's up, Booby? How you feeling, dog?
What's going on? Man, I thank y'all for having me, man. That's it. You said it all. That's me.
Okay.
That's a wrap.
Tell us, since we talking about you, we opened up on the song, Keep Pushing. Tell us a little bit about that song that we opened up.
Well, Keep Pushing is a record that I just wanted to release. For a while, I had been telling everybody I was doing music, and this was something that I was passionate about, but I hadn't released anything original. And so I want to keep pushing to be the record that I released first because it got that Houston swag to it, that laid-back, chill, classic sound. And the message is keep pushing. And that's what I preach to everybody that come in contact with me. So I want that to be my first record.
Okay. No doubt. We dig that.
Let me ask you a quick question. So does all your music have kind of a message? Because I saw a song from you, and it had to do with was it suicide?
Yeah, suicide.
And you had a message behind that as well.
The message was us killing each other. Yeah. Us killing ourselves. And that was around the time when Trayvon Martin, the incident went down. And that was just me using my voice and basically saying that there's more to me than basketball. That was an opportunity to speak on an issue that was affecting our community. And to answer your question, no, not all my music sounds like that. It's just that that's the beauty of artistry, and that's why I fell in love with the music, because you can speak on anything that you want to. And if you have that ability to be able to express yourself, why not use it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's very positive.
So that's what it is. We dig that. So tell me, man, being an athlete, how has that transition been? Because I was a former athlete as well, football, played in the NFL a little bit. So we know we got that work ethic. You know you got that work ethic. So how has that been transitioning over to your music, going from athletics?
Well, that's pretty much what it's all about, because my transition has been completely filled with doubt. Basically, every time somebody hears athlete becoming musician, it's like, oh shit, please no, don't do it, stay where you at. But my whole move, the way I was raised, everything about me, anybody tell me that I can't do something, I'm most likely gonna do it. And at the end of the day, you're gonna see my hard work show. And that's just, I feel like this is nothing different. I feel like I was born and I was blessed with an ability to be able to write and tell stories. And music gives you a platform to be able to do that, to inspire, to motivate, to bring people together, to laugh, yeah. Whatever. Music is what that is for us. And that's just all I'm doing, is just having a good time and just being me.
Now, what's the biggest obstacle that you've encountered transitioning from sports to music?
Just the stereotype. Mm-hmm. You know, people have closed minds these days, and they know of me is the basketball player. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
They try to keep you in that box.
They want to keep you there as if that's all I can do. And to me, that makes absolutely no sense. Like, we all are created to be limitless. Right. We all like are. You know what I'm
saying? Preach on, brother. Preach on.
Real talk.
That's real, though.
It's just like, I don't understand why before you even have heard a bar, before you even heard me speak a word, you are already condemning and telling me not to do it. That, to me, that makes no sense. At least take the time. If you don't like it, fine. I'll be fine with that. But with me, it's just about breaking that mold and making everybody feel like you ain't just got to do one thing or be stuck in one thing. If it's in your heart and then you wake up hearing music and you wake up, it's calling you every day, do it. And everybody that don't like it, I promise you, they're going to like it in a short amount of time.
So how long have you been writing music? Has this always been like a passion of yours, like growing up?
Not music. Not necessarily writing music. I've always written poetry. I've always wrote stories. And so what's crazy is when I drop my EP, to bring it all together, I'm writing a little book too. So the book is going to come out with the EP as well, just so people can see that this is not something that I just woke up one day. I was like, I'm not playing basketball no more. I got money. Let's go rap. Mm-hmm. Nah, it was really a situation where I didn't know which way I was going to go, what I was going to do. And I was at my rock bottom, and I prayed. And I was like, you know, what's next for me? I can't hoop right now. My legs won't even let me do it. What's next? Like, what? I know this ain't it. And that pen just took me there. And that booth just gave me that place to vent without nobody around. And I could just tell my story and talk my shit. I don't know if we could curse.
Well, you did it.
I could tell my story and talk. And that's where the music came from. And I'm no longer apologizing for doing what I know I'm called to do. Like, I'm not telling nobody I'm sorry for not playing no more. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my journey. This is my life. And people will begin to see it because I'm going to just walk that way.
What's the book about?
The book is about the trials. Okay. The trials that I went through, the struggle of trying to do something and everybody trying to box you in. Mm-hmm. The struggle of feeling so caged in and, like, doing something, wanting to do something else, but knowing the criticism you'll receive from doing that and kind of shying away from it, but finally saying, you know what, forget that. Like, it's my time to shine, and allowing people to be inspired by you stepping into that light. That's what the book is about.
All right, now correct me if I'm wrong. I came to a listening party not too long ago, and I heard some stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that some of the stuff that we're going to hear on the EP?
Maybe 4 to 5 tracks.
Okay.
There's some tracks that I didn't play that night, but some of the music that you heard would definitely be a part of the
All right, well, before we move on, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to vouch for it because I heard it. I heard some of those tracks at that listening party, and some of the things was off the chain, man. So keep doing what you're doing. But we talking, but we about to get you on some sports stuff right now. We know you're doing your thing in the music, and we excited about it. That's but we about to get you on some sports. And now, what are we talking about, Erica?
Well, before we move on to sports, I want to say I'm a little offended that the rest of us were not invited to this listening party.
Raina,
Josh.
Well, you know what?
I mean,
it was kind of a private little thing, and I had no.
Thanks, Trey.
It was a while back though. When I say it, wasn't it like 3 weeks
ago? And the thing about it was, it was a private listening session, and kind of what we was talking about me being people just automatically assuming the worst when it comes to me rapping. It was a scenario where we had people in listening to music and they didn't know who I was.
Nice.
So it wasn't the connection of like, let me tell Dre to come watch me. You know what I'm saying? It was just, we had like a few different people in there just listening to the music and getting different opinions without the bias of me being an athlete.
So what's been the reception so far to you doing music, including that listening party where you had people listening that didn't know who you were? What's been the reception to that as well as keep it pushing?
It's two.
No.
The music, when people hear the music, it's like, oh shit. Like he dope.
Oh, crap.
That's the reaction to the music. But then there's the people who, man, I watched you shoot threes, man. Like, mm-hmm. man, you was in the finals with LeBron. Like, man, I need you back on the court. You know what I'm saying? There's still those people that just don't understand me choosing my love for music over the game of basketball. You know what I'm saying? People just don't. They just can't get past the basketball part. And so it's just going to take for me to consistently be who I am for those people to realize it's not a game. I'm not playing. This is just, it's just coming out of me.
Right. I mean, is any of that, does any of that fuel?
Ooh.
You don't
understand, and what it's done is it's created this monster, and I'm normally so reserved and humble and cool and quiet and chill, but in this particular business, you can't be that way.
You can't be like that. Mm-hmm. And some of your tracks so far, the ones I've heard have been kind of laid back.
So they coming.
Okay. That's
what I can't curse in here, but...
Yeah.
Oh, you can curse, man.
Oh, okay. Well, shit. The next song I'm coming with is called Fuck You Mean.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
just right. basically, I'm getting to the point where now it's like, look, y'all can talk what y'all want to talk, but I do this. And you can put me up against anybody that y'all think is dope, and I show you I'm dope too. So that's just the swagger that you kind of got to have in this arena. And it took me a while because playing basketball, get more discipline. You gotta be. Mm-hmm. You can't say certain things in your interviews. You have to protect your image and all that. But the artistry gives you that freedom to be who you are, and that's where I'm at with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So all you guys out there listening, make sure you become Booby fans. Not Booby fans of the NBA player, but fans of the artist.
Yeah. That's just what you, Booby. Period.
Booby. Period.
It's Booby, so period.
It's
so much. It's
so
much.
It's so much. It's so much. The rap and the basketball.
It's so much. You know, I want to be on TV like Dre. I want to do it all. Why can't I?
Why not?
We're limitless.
Sky's the limit. Yeah, real talk. Yeah,
I like what you said earlier. You said we all could be limitless.
Yeah, that was good soundbite.
Put that on the quotes, man.
Put that on the
branded athlete quotes.
So now, Booby, we're going to throw you into the fire.
Okay,
so
I figured. I knew it was coming.
It's coming now.
It's coming.
Now, our fans and watchers and listeners and viewers know every week we do hot takes. We talk about the week's most controversial, hottest sports topic. So you're going to join the conversation. So feel free to chime in, interrupt, disagree, you know. Josh and I are adversaries.
We
fight all the
it.
Time. So okay. feel free to jump in and take my side. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. So hire to fire or to retain. Major football programs this week make huge statements. University of Georgia fired my coach, Coach Mark Richt, and he's already gotten hired at the University of Miami. We hired defensive coordinator from Alabama, Kirby Smart. LSU was going to fire Les Miles but decided last minute to not fire him, and USC removes the interim tag on their coach, Helton. Did these teams and schools move too quickly, or did they make the right moves? Was it time to move on? Thoughts?
I'm going to tell you straight up, I think this playoff thing is kind of getting everybody, like, all riled up. Because,
isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, man. These schools, it's dope, right? It's real dope, but I just don't think that. I think everybody see these four spots, and they trying to make all these moves to make sure they get to them four spots. And to be honest, I mean, that's why I was designed, for that competitiveness and to give those teams a chance to, you know, more than one team a chance to play. Because everybody like, yo, we number one, we number two. So now it gives the top four teams a chance to play. But I think it's good, man. If you can only go so long with being average at programs like this, LSU, USC, Georgia, you can only go so long without being dominant, you know. And you know, these fans, these boosters, the athletes, the recruits, they expect greatness from certain programs, and you got to find a way to get it in there.
Just adding on to that, for Georgia in particular, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know this is your team. They had an SEC championship in 2002-2005, correct?
Yep.
So, but they didn't win an SEC title in 10 seasons.
And that's right, in 10 years. And so the one we won in 2002, we won with Coach Donnan's recruits, which is the coach that came before Coach
Rick.
So,
and don't even mention national championship.
Right.
Having been to national championship.
Since 1980.
Since Right. Since 1983. We won in
83.
We won in
83. That was a good year.
Don't get me started. That was a good year. We went 80, 81, 80. I mean, we went 80, 81, 82.
Regardless.
And then we won in 80. Yeah. Okay.
So you're happy with the fire, right?
I'm satisfied. It's very bittersweet, but I do have a question for Booby. Okay. So a lot of my classmates, oh, look at you. A lot of my classmates who play football, who love Coach Rick because he's a good Christian guy with great values, are really pissed off that he got fired.
Yeah.
Even though in the SEC, really, he's been mediocre compared to the LSUs, the Bamas, the Auburns, the Floridas. So these players are pissed off because they think that he deserved more time and he's been such a father figure to them.
Yeah.
A lot of these players are saying, now that he's gone to the U, I'm now cheering for the U.
Yeah.
As an athlete who may have had a connection with your coach in college,
yeah,
or your professional coach, how do you feel about players jumping ship per se when their coach gets a new job?
I get it because as an athlete, a lot of us come into those programs fatherless,
mm-hmm,
and we around those guys all the time.
Word.
So they preach that family, and so you develop those bonds. But again, you don't think about the business aspect of it. You don't think about losing 10 seasons, mm-hmm, and everything else that comes into play, because those organizations still have to make money, and it's sad. It's not sad, but it's become a "what have you done for me lately?" period. So
straight
coaches
up
everywhere are on the hot seat. If you ain't
that's
winning right now, like, I don't care what you've done. If you're not doing it right now, people are getting put out. So I understand why they would be upset, but because I would be upset too about,
yeah,
my coach, I'd be cheering for the other squad. But these days, you got to kind of understand it. If you're not putting it up right now, if y'all not winning games, you can go any day. It don't matter what level you're playing on.
Thank you.
And as you can see, I mean, it's the bigger programs that's making so many moves, right? It's the programs,
right,
that we,
yeah,
expect,
yeah,
to be in the top 10. It's,
yeah,
the programs that we expect to be up there in those four spots that's making moves. Because like he said, I mean, when you had a big program like that, it's all about that money.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, a coach just doesn't, I mean, when you get rid of a big name coach who's been there for a long time, I mean, the coach just doesn't forget how to coach all of a sudden. You know,
I don't think it's so much,
right,
of him forgetting how to coach. It's errors. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
now
you can
go so long coaching a certain style and have a certain way of doing things, but eventually it has to change.
You have to evolve. I mean,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
what I mean? So whatever that ensues, whether it's getting a new coach or a new offensive coordinator or a new defensive coordinator,
or all of the above.
And you got, I realize some of these coaches have been coaching for so long. I mean, they've been going up against some of the same coaches. They know the schemes. They know the,
mm-hmm,
the tricks. They know the trades. So it sometimes it gets to a point where you have nothing else to do but make some type of switch just to get a whole new look and new outset on that program.
Right,
yeah,
right.
So,
and speaking of new,
opinion,
oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, for the athletes,
yeah,
like in general, I know the question is Justin. So bringing in a new coach from a new program and they have their own standards,
mm-hmm,
the athletes that are currently there, what do you think, like, playing time might change, you know, they might transfer. Like, it's a really big thing. My coach got fired my sophomore year and she recruited me. And then we have a new coach coming in.
Mm.
It's like, I don't know if she doesn't like me.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm
going
to start anymore.
Transition.
Like,
that's
it's a weird transition.
Always. It's a real transition, too. And, like, as a player, I've known guys that when the coach switch, they leave and go,
yeah,
to a different,
yeah,
program.
That's what I
understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just can't take it. But some guys take that as a challenge or a new opportunity,
yeah,
that they might not have been getting with the old coach. So
that's,
it's just
true,
a lot of things that play into that. When you get a new coach, he got to be ready,
mm-hmm,
for that whole.
Yeah, and I think on the other side, like, we look at all the negatives, like all the things that could go wrong. But there's,
yeah,
so many things that could go right. You get a new,
sure,
coach,
yeah,
you could completely turn over a new leaf and make it, you know.
Fired up, yeah.
You know, everyone's so excited, like, you have a new spark in your system from the coach to the coordinators to the players. So I think just as easily as it could go bad, it could go perfectly.
Yeah.
So
now, Kirby Smart, was that a smart decision?
Defensive
coordinator from Alabama?
He played football at the University of Georgia from
95
to 98.
Yep.
So he's a Georgia boy. Go Georgia.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah. Play with Georgia.
Yeah, play.
And he leads the number one defense. He's been there for
absolutely.
He's been at Bama, I think, since 07 under Saban. So, you know,
right,
if like coaching under Saban in college is like coaching under Belichick or coaching under Greg Popovich, you know?
Right.
Don't you think? I mean,
understood,
like, Greg Popovich's minions are all around the league, like, wreaking havoc on all the other teams. So Kirby has had the best on-the-job training that you could possibly have. And people are criticizing, saying, oh, he's never been a head coach. Well, Mark Richt wasn't a head coach either before he started coaching. He was a coordinator at Florida State. Yeah. So, like I said, it could go good, it could go bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Either way, it's very bittersweet. Congrats to Les Miles for keeping his job. Congrats to Kirby Smart for getting a new job.
And we all agree. Congrats to us. Like, we didn't have any kind of disagreement.
Oh, we didn't.
Topic.
Oh, dang. I think that was a fun. But I will say one thing. That when you're a recruit, it's important. You know, I'm just speaking right now. It's important that when you're making that commitment, you commit to the university. You can't commit to the coaching staff.
Thank you.
Because coaching staffs might change.
Thank
they might go. But at least if you know you're going to be comfortable in that place, living, eating, sleeping, living every day, the campus, where you got to lay, where you got to eat, if you're comfortable in that aspect, that's how you make your decision. Because a lot of cats get caught up on the glitz and the glams and the coaches and the names. But those things can all change, man. You got to make sure you're how you commit.
They're going to say anything to get you to come to their school. They might be
right. And we all know that.
Personally.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so really quickly, we're going to divert from college football and talk about DraftKings. This guy right here just won $300 on DraftKings over the past
It's so real.
I'm so jealous.
I'm jealous, too, actually, because I need to get
you
on.
You going to take that to dinner or what?
Hey, you know what I'm saying? I got five on it. You know what I'm saying? Five, 10, 15. We can do a little something. I got five on it.
Booby, do you play DraftKings? Do you play any fantasy football?
I don't, but I wish I did.
Yeah?
I wish I did. I haven't, though.
Okay.
Well, you can start today.
I've really been wanting to get into a league. I just haven't.
Bro, you got. Well, I'm gonna make sure next year my league. Yeah. We need the all stars.
We'll be in the same league. I normally win my league, but just a heads up. So, guys out there, if you don't want to have a 16-week-long commitment for fantasy football, DraftKings is perfect because you can change your players every week, pick your players, pile up your points, and this year DraftKings is doing a $1 million winner every single week. And at the end of the year, there's going to be a $2 million winner. Sound effects? $2 million winner.
That was my sound effect. You said a meal a week.
Oh, that was you.
You're missing out, dog.
So make sure you guys go to DraftKings.com to play fantasy football and make sure you use the promo code BLACK so they know that we sent you. And as always, when you win your money,
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right, so we got some quick hits right now. And this is how we do quick hits. This session is I got a couple topics, and I'm going to ask you one or two answers. It's either this or that, hot or cold, true or false, kind of thing like No elaboration. Mm-hmm. Well, you can elaborate a little bit, but we don't want no long 45 minutes.
Yeah, try to make two okay.
Okay? And we got it because I
want to
hear
you
from
want him to go
everybody.
First?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to kick it off with him. We're going to go down the line.
Okay, perfect. Perfect.
All right, first of all, now, are you an NFL fan, sir?
Yeah, I'm a Houston Texans fan.
Houston Texans.
Okay. Team in the
Me
NFL.
Too. And I'm disappointed. They so crazy, ain't they?
Right. You never know what's going on.
Never know what they're doing.
You got J.J. Watt. That's.
As long as
that's all we got. He can't play quarterback and everything else.
You wish he could, though.
I wish he could.
Right.
Put him out there. These cats we got, I don't even know who they is. Okay, so are you familiar with Brock Osweiler?
I know his name.
Nobody was about three weeks ago. Brock Osweiler is the new quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
Okay, yeah.
He took place with Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Yep, six seven. Yeah. He's taller than you, though.
Yeah.
6'7".
A huge
quarterback. Now, as you know, he beat the New England Patriots. Now, he's been the starting quarterback for 2 weeks now straight, and they are 2-0.
Yep. Uh-huh.
This is the first time he's ever started in NFL history.
I remember that.
2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And 2-0. And I need to know, is this luck or is he locked in? Luck meaning, is he just kind of getting lucky? Locked in meaning, has he been waiting for this opportunity? You know, as an athlete, when you're sitting on that bench and you're waiting and you're waiting and you get your time to shine, you cut loose. What's up? Talk to me.
Okay, well, without having too much info on the situation, I just so happened to see the Denver game when Peyton was playing against the Kansas City Chiefs and had to take the seat. And he and Brock came. I mean, what's his name?
Brock.
Yep, you're right.
And Brock came in the game. And I was looking like, man, he looked nice. So for me, I would say locked in. I would say I think he's been waiting on his opportunity. Watching Peyton, I think he ready to take his take his time.
All right. Well, I think he's locked in. Yeah. I think he's locked in.
Hold on now, brother. You was the same brother about 2 weeks ago.
What did I say?
Now, you said it was luck. You said it was luck two weeks ago.
We would have been talking about the same thing.
Yeah, we were.
No, we were talking about Andrew Luck.
No, we weren't talking about Andrew Luck.
No, we were.
I brought it back for you.
Look, I can change my mind. I say I've seen him play. He knocked off the Patriots, who I thought were going to go 16-0.
Right.
I called it, and, hey, I was wrong, but, hey, he knocked them off. And I think he's locked in, and I think because just like Boogie said, when you're sitting on the bench, especially behind great quarterbacks like Peyton Manning, you're getting a chance to study from somebody great, and you're getting a chance to observe the game and how they do it, and they bestow their knowledge on you at the same time. Yeah. You learn a lot, and so I think he's learned a lot. He's been ready. He's been hungry. He stepped up. He did his thing, and I say he's locked in.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm gonna say locked in. Just given, I'm agreeing with both of you guys, and also because the Patriots, this was such a big game, and usually with newer quarterbacks, that's the time, like that's when you really get your test. So, and I think that he proved himself. So I'm gonna go with locked in.
No doubt.
I'm gonna say.
What you?
I'm just kidding. I'm gonna say locked in. You know, because Peyton was one of my fantasy quarterbacks, so he pissed me off starting at the beginning of the season.
Did you wait? Did you let him go?
He's on my bench. I have Tyrod Taylor and Matt and Peyton still. I just can't let him go. He's a legend. Yeah. But I'm gonna say locked in, and I hope that the Broncos have the balls enough to keep starting Brock, even once Peyton is healthy. Sorry.
That's Peyton Manning.
You gotta know what.
Is it back on me yet? Is it back on me? Is it my turn? I'ma say that's luck, man. I ain't trying to hear that. I'm not trying to hear all that. Check this out.
You just trying to be opposite.
Nah, ain't nobody trying to hear. I got the facts, homie. Look, let me tell you right now, okay? He was 23 for 42.
Right.
That means he's 50%. That means he ain't doing what he's supposed to be doing only half of the time.
But did
he
win?
He threw one touchdown and one interception, which means he's 50%. Yeah. He ain't throwing more touchdowns than he throwing interceptions.
Yeah.
He did win. He 2-0. And I'm going to tell you this. When that man come back, when what's his name?
Manning come back. I can't feel my fingertips.
In the playoffs, mark my word. I don't give a damn how many games Brock Osweiler won. In the playoffs, Manning will be the starting quarterback. I guarantee you that. They resting his body. They getting him ready.
He is
getting
Peyton Manning.
Well, but in the playoffs though.
In the playoffs,
Peyton Manning in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Peyton Manning in the playoffs? I don't know.
Okay, we'll see. He got to win out. He got to win out for me to be talking about this locked in. I'm talking about locked in.
Yeah,
all right, now check it out, man. On the next topic, man. We got my man Gronkowski.
Gronk.
Okay.
Big Gronk. Now, you know who Gronk is, right? You got to be familiar with Gronk. Yeah. Now, my thing with this brother is he's had 4 offensive pass interference, okay? Now, this is the most that an NFL player has ever had, like has ever had from one person, okay? So, the studies are saying, they're saying that because he's so big and because he's such a dominant player, he should accept the fact that people going to call that penalty on you regardless because you're so big.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff is that? So, I say the New England Patriots, Rob Gronkowski, 4 pass interferences. Is that BS or is that just a fair game? Just meaning he's a big guy, you got to accept that because you're big and they're going to be looking at you more closely.
I mean, that's, you know, I'ma always take it to basketball. That's okay. Like with Shaq, you know what I'm saying? That's like saying, is he big? Mm-hmm. And so certain things are going to happen. And so I think with Gronk, he big. And so I think that when he out there on the field, certain things are going to happen. All he could do is just play his game. And if the calls go against him, it's up to the officials.
And that's exactly what he said. Good answer. Rob Gronkowski.
Ain't nothing he can do about it.
Wait, help me understand.
Wait, so is Boobie's answer BS or fair play?
Yeah, BS
so
you fair say play.
It's Am fair. You say it's fair play.
Yeah, I mean, are we talking about from the official standpoint?
Yeah.
It's BS.
Oh, okay.
It's BS.
Okay.
Okay. There you go.
That's
okay.
That's like with Shaq. They used to say because he big, he gonna get fouled. Nah, he big. He was blessed with the big. Big.
But
like,
he should still
the man his car.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. So does that make sense?
It makes sense.
I think I got it. In that case, I say BS too. You brought up a good example with Shaq. I mean, just because he's big, just because he's strong, doesn't mean you have to go out of your way to, you know, make calls against him. You can't penalize him for something that he was blessed with or the gift he was given of being big.
It was the same
you know,
way with LeBron.
And being strong. You can't,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So I say BS.
Okay.
But yes, especially taking from a basketball point of view as well. And I mean, you're playing football. Get your weight up.
Get your weight up. Yeah.
Talk to him. Talk to him.
I'm going to say fair play.
Oh.
And I'm going to say fair play because Cam Newton dabbing on him, he always gets the short end of the stick when it comes to calls. And we talk about how he gets discriminated against because he's big, and sometimes maybe because he's big and black. So if Cam Newton is getting discriminated against because of his size and maybe because of his color, Gronk, you get to be discriminated against too. Fair play. Deal with it.
She said you better eat that pie.
Well, I'm with you, my sister. Yeah, this is the first time you've been two for two today. I say it's fair play, man. You a big fella, and actually he said it was fair play as well. This is what I meant. He's expecting that. I saw him do an interview on ESPN. He said, look, I expect for people to call pass interference. Yeah. So I try to make my catches as clean as possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's the mentality that you have to have. Yeah. I mean, if you see them calling it a certain way, then do what you got to do to keep your hands on it and make it a challenge if they call it anyway.
Yeah.
So I say fair play. Give me some. I'm so happy, girl. That Thanksgiving food is not too good, girl. All right, so my last one, man. We got Johnny Manziel. Obviously, we know he's on the Cleveland Browns right now, but he has not. He's been getting in a lot of trouble off the field. I think when he gets a chance to play, he's actually a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
Nah, he's not a great quarterback, but he's a pretty good quarterback when he gets a chance to play. Now, I will say I got a chance to watch that game that Cleveland won in overtime this weekend. That quarterback was solid.
No, they lost. The overtime?
No, the Ravens?
No,
the Browns, the Cleveland Browns. They won that game.
They won last game?
Wait, no, they lost on a kick six.
Yeah.
Oh, remember? They did. Oh, man.
That was a nice play,
but
man.
He played a hell of a game.
Austin Davis had a game.
Off the top, he played a hell of a game. So my thing is, they're talking about now, you being from Texas, man, I know you're a Texans fan. I'm a Texas fan, H-time to the fullest. Yeah. But they're talking about the Cowboys are saying if they release him, which I don't think they will, but if they release him, they're going to bring him down for a workout. Now, considering the circumstances with, you know, Tony Romo, the backup quarterback who's been ferocious this season, they don't have a quarterback in general. I think it's been horrible. Do you think that's cash or do you think that's trash for him for them to work out Johnny Manziel?
I'm going to say cash. And why? It's because I despise the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh.
So, if Tony Romo was to go down and Johnny Manziel was to get in trouble off of the field, the Cowboys would be exactly where I want them to be.
Damn. Oh, damn.
And I mean, like, being from Houston and Dallas, it's always that rivalry, man. Anybody that they love the Dallas Cowboys so much. They've been America's team for so long and haven't won a championship since Emmitt and Troy was there. So I got some animosity in my heart towards the Cowboys, and that's how I'm rolling with it.
So you say cash.
Cash. Yeah.
So they'll go down.
Yeah, it'll be a
I say trash, but not because they'll go down. I want them to go down, but just because of the fact that I don't really see Manziel as I don't think he's proven himself yet to be a good quarterback in this league. And I feel like Dallas owner Jones is just kind of going out for the publicity, you know, trying to get someone who will kind of give him some little bit of publicity. I feel like he does that a lot. And so I don't think he'll be a good fit in Dallas, but I say trash.
Yeah.
No, yeah, trash.
So the trash is the trash. It's like,
the cash and trash.
I'm going to say trash. I think the Cowboys can do a better job in finding a quarterback that can fit their style of play. And also, I'm not a very big fan of Johnny Manziel and his off the fields.
That's why you should let him go.
Yeah.
So. Trash, right?
That's trash. I mean, I guess I'm going to say trash, too, because Johnny Manziel, I never believed in him. I thought that Kevin Sumlin coddled him a lot of bit at Texas A&M. And I think once he got out of that compartmentalized atmosphere where he was babied, he got into the real world and saw that he was not really ready to be a leader of an NFL team. So I say trash. For that reason, also because Tony Romo is 35 years old. He's injury-prone year after year after year. The Cowboys really need to start rebuilding and looking to the quarterback of the future. And Johnny Manziel is not the quarterback of the future for the Cowboys or for anyone.
Nope.
keep Romo and let him, well, let him get
out. I say that boy Cash, man. You know what I'm saying? Cash money, Cash moves everything around me. You hear me? I say that boy Johnny Manziel. I think he's one of those. It's all about the system that you're in. I think he hasn't been successful because Cleveland's system doesn't fit him. He has to be in a system where he has the liberty to run the ball and do the things that he wants to do. Dallas, they run a very they run a lot of spread offense. They run it because they have their gun with a lot of different receivers. I think that's a good offense for him to be in because he's in the backfield. He's got nobody in the backfield with him, so the lanes are opening up, which gets him a chance to run when you got five wide out. Mm-hmm. And that's just coming from a football perspective. I think also, to you know, with the fact that he's from Texas, anytime, you know what it is, anytime you go back and you plan for your home team or you plan from somewhere you close to, you kind of, it's more dear to you. You know what I mean?
It means a lot more.
Yeah. Right, it means a lot more. You want to put on a better show, you know what I mean? You want to give everything that you have for your city, for your town, for your state, wherever, vice versa. So that's why I say Cash, because I think it's just a matter of him finding a system. And like we said, what the quarterbacks ain't doing nothing for Dallas anyway. Yeah. So what's the why not they, bring in somebody who's gonna bring you
cash?
Can
they get
someone
better? Bring him in, unproven.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot better they could do than Manziel, though.
Now I agree with that. I think they're not. Do I think that there's better quarterbacks that they can go after than Johnny Manziel? Heck yeah, because he hasn't proved himself. But I say right now with them talking about it, what they say, Kaepernick or Manziel. Johnny Manziel. I would say Kaepernick all day.
Yeah.
What would you say? When
I would say Kaepernick, but I wouldn't say Kaepernick for the Cowboys because, again, we don't want them to win. That is not what we want here. That is not what we
want. Okay, well, check this out, brother. So you Texas, I'm Texas. The Texas ain't been about shit.
They ain't been doing
that. So
I love them still.
So, okay, well, if Johnny Manziel was, would you like to see him playing for the Texans? Because we haven't had a solid quarterback.
You know what? From the football aspect, I'm not off Johnny Manziel yet. You know, I feel like you said, in the right system, with the right confidence being instilled in him from his coach, you never know what he could do and produce on the field. So if it were the Texans, then I might feel a little different. So I'm a Johnny Manziel fan. I just think I want to see him get an opportunity, an extended opportunity, and not these 1-2 game shots that he's been getting.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. Because you can't really show. In one game, they want to bench you, and then another game.
Well, if you can't stay out of trouble, then you can stay on the field. That's true, but that's another conversation.
That brother, that crazy. Okay. That brother is crazy. And brother is crazy. What are we looking at? What are we looking at now? We got some
basketball. That's what I say. Anyway, so basketball, let's talk about the Warriors. They've had a great start to their season, going 20-0 after last night's win against the Hornets. Steph Curry averaging 32 points per game in the first 20 games of the season, and he's leading the league in three-pointers made. He has over 100 three-pointers already in 20 games. There's a lot of basketball to play. I mean, any game can they can lose at any game. I mean, Utah was a close game.
Mm-hmm.
But one team that they haven't met up with was the Cavs.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that matchup. Like, what do you guys think about the Cavs and Warriors matchup coming up on Christmas Day? So let's start with the
Cavs. The sad part about the game being on December 25th is who I feel is the best offensive player in our game is Kyrie Irving. Mm. He's not going to be playing in that game because he won't be back until January or February.
Right.
So for the Cavs, they're not going to be at full strength. You're not going to really see the Cavaliers be the Cavaliers unless they have Shump, Kyrie, Brun, and all those guys on the floor, because that's intimidating. When everywhere you look on the floor, whether it's Kevin Love, whether it's Kyrie, LeBron, that's a lot of people on the floor. That's like, that's an intimidating factor. So with that being said, Christmas Day, I'm still a Cavs fan. I want the Cavs to win, but the Warriors, they're so deep. I think that'll be a challenge. Where's the game being played at?
In Cleveland.
That's going to be a tall task. But I'm going to say Cavs just because I'm Cavs.
Oh, just because.
off the rip. Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I'm going to say Cavs, too, because I'm a Clipper fan.
Oh,
everyone. I'm a Clipper fan, and I have this hatred in my heart for the Warriors because I feel like they turned.
Because they keep beating the Clippers?
Well, they beat everybody. Like the Lakers.
For everybody.
Anybody else's team, they beat them too. But no, I have this hatred in my heart because they turned their program around in the same like time frame that the Clippers should have gotten much better. So I hate them. But I admire Steph Curry.
Yeah,
and I mean, you can't dismiss his greatness. I mean, to say great is might be a stretch, but he's definitely incredible. I'm an 80s baby, so, you know, I still revere Michael and those guys from the Bulls. Okay, yeah. So he's great. Whatever, I said it. So because I'm a hater, I'm going to pick the Cavs to win, pull the upset in Oracle, and hopefully the Warriors have lost several games by then. But if they have not, I hope this is at least their first.
Wait a minute, but you guys are just playing like emotions. Like, you get a hater, you get hissed because you played for them. Yeah, I'm talking about like basketball.
Talent. I want sports. Where, sports
give me your basketball. Okay.
My basketball analysis, I really feel like the Cavaliers.
You really think they can pull it off without their full squad, without all their firepower? They didn't pull it off last year.
But that was a different story too, Josh. They had one player versus the Warriors starting five plus like their bench.
But you know, the Cavs have also made a few additions. They've added Mo Williams. Mm-hmm. Mo Williams is over there now. And Shump should be back, I believe, by that time. I'm not sure how long his wrist. So the only one they'll be missing is Kyrie. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I feel like the Cavs got a good shot now.
So
yeah.
that's your basketball opinion.
That's my basketball.
Me too.
What's your basketball opinion?
Same thing? What he said all day long.
I say Golden State will pull it off. And I think by that time, they're rolling right now. I mean, and you between now and Christmas, they're going to pick up a lot more steam. I don't even know how much better they can get. But this team is really on the verge of doing something pretty nice.
Yeah.
And they started comparing them to the Chicago Bulls and the 72-10. And yeah. I was like, oh, way too early for that. Come on. I'm an 80s baby too. So I'm feeling like, no, don't do that. But now I'm seeing how they're playing together. They play so well together.
They do.
Mm-hmm. And they you just can't stop them. They're very hard to stop. And who's going to check Steph Curry?
Their only thing would be injury. If they can stay injury free, because I think LeBron said it recently, like they're the most healthy team ever in the history of ever. Like nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
And Harrison Barnes just hurt his ankle recently, and they still rolling. So if they can stay healthy.
Well, Boobie, I want to say this too. I want to say, barring injury or ego, because like Klay Thompson's been super quiet, and you know, I feel like. I mean, Steph Curry's hot, so you've got to let him touch the ball. You got to let him score. But I feel like egos can be just as detrimental to a team's success as an injury.
Like the Clippers.
But the chemistry right now.
I mean, the
one thing about the Warriors is they preach that togetherness by having an all-star come off the bench with Andre Iguodala not starting. I don't think nobody can really be mad about not getting shots or playing because this guy can start on any other team in the NBA he's okay with coming off your bench. So I think by Steve Kerr making that happen, he infused that mentality of team into them. And I think that's why their record reflects that. Like they play better together than any team in the NBA.
Come on, man. Chef Curry with the shot. You hear me? I mean, I'm Golden State, man. I'm a Rockets fan. Shout out to my Rockets. They're doing their thing, too. You know, they ain't been a great
start. They're not doing
their thing. Listen. I got to shout out my Rockets regardless of what you say.
They're doing their thing, okay?
Their thing is being very average, all right? They're doing their thing, which is very average. Okay,
stop
hating, man. I shouldn't put them on the spot like But Chef Curry with the shout out already, baby. You know, I think they playing good. And the reason why I think that on a basketball standpoint is they're having fun. Like, when you see these cats getting interviewed.
Like the Panthers.
Right. They having fun, man. And they doing what you got to do to win games. And that's score points. They going out shooting three-pointers. They averaging more three-pointers than any other team in the NBA. And they're making
them. They're making them.
And when you just go out there and say, forget it, I'm finna shoot.
I was saying that the other day, man. I watched them play against the Hornets. And the Hornets was throwing the ball in the post and making hook shots. And Steph was coming back in like 4 seconds, shooting the ball from three feet behind the line. Yeah. Like, they got to, like, demoralize your whole team. Like, you like, listen, man,
hey,
stop.
But you know a thing or two about three-pointers, though.
You know, that's
what
I do. So I'm saying. I used to love coming back.
You and Steph right now, you know, who? If you just take off shooting three,
you know
who's going to miss first?
You know what? For a long time, my pride told me that he couldn't see me shooting the basketball. I saw a clip of this man make 90 three-pointers in a row.
I heard about that.
90. You understand? Like, I'm not even finna sit up here and act like I can shoot. I was in the NBA just because I could shoot.
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying? And I done had stretches where I done made 40 to 50 three-pointers in a row. But at about 40 or 50, your shoulders get a little tired. You just might miss one just off, just missing.
Right.
90 straight, that tells me he on a whole different level, like confidence, like physically, it's just right. I think he on a whole different level shooting the ball. Yeah. So I give him that nod.
I'm gonna go with the Warriors. I mean, with Curry playing the way he is, a lot of his game, in my opinion, is confidence. Yes. If he steps up, if he makes threes like it's nothing, him shooting the ball like after a rebound, taking two dribbles and pulling up for a three on a fast break, yeah. that's confidence. Yes. That's skill. Like, if he continues to play this out, it's just going to be a wrap for the Cavs. I do think that I agree with you with Kyrie being injured, that it's going to be tough for the Cavs. I think the point guard position is very important.
Yes.
For and any that boy is nice. And mm-hmm. yeah, and he is yeah. so nice. So
that's a big part of the team.
Given a healthy Cavs team, they would. I don't know. It would be a tubby, but I'm gonna still go with my Warriors just because I think Steph is just playing amazing right now. Their chemistry is great, and they're having fun. Everyone's stepping up and pulling their own weight too. They're not trying to do too much. Draymond yeah. is gonna do what Draymond does. Brandon Rush is gonna do what Brandon Rush does. Boga's gonna do what he does. So yeah, so that's. That's that. Are we going to talk about the social media? Do we have time for social media, or should we move on?
Let's move on.
Okay. You guys got time.
Oh, we have a little bit of time?
You guys got time.
Hey, ooh, we like that. We okay. like time.
I know we're not used to that.
See, that's what happens when you get a celebrity in here. They want to say,
yeah,
yeah.
No, we got time.
We appreciate
now.
You, bro. We appreciate you.
Do you want to do Kobe or just can we do Kobe? Or?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Okay.
Kobe.
No, let's talk about it. I mean, it's all over the news, and I mean every away game they have, it's like a Kobe farewell tour.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just wanted to get you guys' reactions on this, on the whole Kobe thing. Like, is it the perfect time? Is it too early? Has he worn out his welcome? What do you guys think about this whole Kobe retirement situation?
Kobe, man. Kobe. I'm a basketball player, so y'all have to excuse me. He's one of the reasons. Him and AI. Watching them two when I was playing basketball, just watching them two, I was like, yeah, I'm going to the NBA because I want to do what they do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So what they meant to me as a basketball player might be different. You know what I'm saying?
No, I feel you. So, it almost like hurts your heart.
Man, like, see, but what hurt me the most, Kevin touched on it the best out of anybody. What hurt me the most was to see Kobe kind of struggling after he just had that shoulder surgery at the end of last year. He really haven't had time to really play himself into the right shape.
Right.
They was murdering Kobe. Yes. Kobe should hang it up. Kobe still, like, this man did so much for the game.
This one right here, I'm trying to tell you.
Don't try to tell me.
I'm trying to tell you. This is one of them.
He did
so much for the game of basketball, so much for the city of L.A., you know what I'm saying? And all the legends get old. It's sad, but it all ends for every single basketball player. And I just feel like, you know, allow him his time to finish. You ain't do Mike like that when Mike was on his way out doing his thing. So I just feel like, to me, it just hurt me. It hurts me to see him go. I want him to get a farewell in every arena because he deserves it. Because probably in every arena, he's probably hit a game winner, dunked on somebody, made a kid who thinking about playing basketball go a little harder in the gym.
Yeah.
So I got too much respect and admiration for Kobe. So when you say Kobe, I'm like, let that man do his thing.
So go out on his terms.
Let him do his thing. Whatever he want to do, let him do it.
Erica?
So Boobie, they've been giving me a hard time. They think I'm a Kobe hater. I'm not a Kobe hater.
You're not a Kobe hater?
But I'm very,
every word against Kobe
I'm not,
in here.
Like, I'm a Laker hater, not a Kobe hater.
This man, it's past time. He need to get out of here. He need to retire.
But from a, like we talked about for college football, like from a pragmatic business standpoint, even if you are signing him to the new 2-year deal they signed him to because you owe him that, let's say you're doing that for that. Let's say you're doing it because the revenue that Kobe's ticket sales generates is awesome.
Yeah.
Can you really quantify how much the Lakers are taking 5-10 steps back for signing Kobe for 2 more years with that money and not having cap space to bring in new young talent and go ahead and get back in the Western Conference race?
No, because the Lakers are the Lakers. They will, after Kobe's gone, they're going to attract people. They're going to. It's not like it's the Milwaukee Bucks or anything.
I mean,
this is LA.
But those are two Milwaukee Bucks. LA.
But I'm saying, it's going to hurt them down the line. But when he's out of here after this season.
It's hurting them now.
But they're not going to win the championship this year anyway.
Don't say the Lakers are going to attract people.
Because
they
right
attract, this is a big market. Who doesn't
what
grow,
attracts
who doesn't
people?
Grow up
you gotta
play
realize,
in LA.
No, you gotta realize what has attracted athletes to go play there is Kobe Bryant. They want to play with him. They want to
learn.
Wait a minute.
But we've been hearing people not going there because of Kobe Bryant.
Well, I mean, well, now in the past 3 years, because he's been injured. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. But what I'm saying also is the Clippers are hot, too, now. Now, you got to realize there's two teams in L.A. Cats like to come play in L.A. because it's L.A. You get the weather. You get the fun. You get the sun.
You get the women.
You get the entertainment.
You get the whole nine. But L.A. is not the only team in L.A. right now. And the Clippers are. The Clippers are doing way better than L.A. has been, the Lakers
right,
have been
right.
doing.
But
so you can't say they're going to
attract
people.
But you can't compare Lakers and Clippers.
You can't compare because it's about now. It's not about
and
the past.
See, and look at their reputation. Lakers,
it's
always going to be the
now.
Lakers.
It's about now. It's
because
about
their reputation
the
alone will draw people, I think.
I totally got to agree with him. Because being in that business, you understand that the larger markets.
Are you agreeing with me or him, brother?
Him.
Which is a mistake. But go ahead. We'll let you finish your
point. What I'm saying is being in those larger markets, because think about this. When I played for the Cavs, when I played with LeBron, we were in Cleveland.
Yeah.
That's a small market. When he left, revenue, everything went down. No players wanted to come. Nobody wanted to be out there. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just because of LeBron. It was because that's a small market. And when you're a basketball player, you brand yourself completely. And when you're thinking about the superstars of this league, what superstar wouldn't, when Kobe is done, want to be the guy that puts the Lakers back where they should be? You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Like, and even getting the high draft picks that they'll receive, I think that the LA is just so people want to. I know, I don't. I'm just being in the league, a lot of guys want to play in LA because of their tradition and because it's LA. Everybody want to wear that purple.
Right.
I don't think I'm disagreeing with that aspect, but what I'm saying is that.
Are you flip flopping?
No, I'm not flip flopping. No. And if I choose to flip flop, I reserve the right to. But I'm saying, as far as Kobe taking too long to retire, I'm just saying that I feel like the Lakers have put a lot more money into him and taken so many steps back. And so, yeah, people are going to want to come, but how many more years is it going to take for the Lakers to rebuild once Westbrook or Kevin Durant comes? You still have a bunch of 19-year-olds, and you still have Nance Jr. and, you know, Russell, who they don't even give any playing time.
We'll work it out.
But y'all been saying we're going to work it out for the past 3 years.
Well, because you're throwing it on to Kobe's birthday. Same thing you asked them, not from a fan perspective.
Because you're a Lakers fan. From a game perspective, you honestly, truly, in your heart, feel the way you feel.
About
the Lakers and their program, they're going to always attract people. They're going to always be good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always be the team to beat.
Right. Whether it's a fan perspective or a basketball perspective, the reputation of the Lakers stands. The reputation of L.A. stands. You can't negate that.
You can't take
that away.
Which is when you start to think about the championships of the NBA.
And the tradition.
Those teams like Detroit and the San Antonio, they only slide in there like one time. Like, hey, we won and then we gone. No, I'm saying that's just how the business of basketball is set up. Those big market teams, they attract these big time players. So that's why you always have the Bostons winning all the championships.
When last but time Boston
Chicago,
won?
2008.
I'm saying it was a while back, but I'm going to go down the list. Lakers, the ones that's done it. Miami is another big market.
True.
Chicago is also a big market. They were big. And those are the only teams, when you think about championships, that have won championships. The other teams are competitive, but they're not winning championships. And so, to I guess with you guys' point, Kobe is worth it. You know what I mean?
He wants to fight with us. It's okay.
Yeah, I said we could. I'm going to fight for Kobe today.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
we did say that at the beginning of the show.
Kobe.
So, when we talk about Kobe, when he leaves the game, where does he rank in terms of legacy?
One of the greatest. Ever.
Top five.
Oh, what? You give him top five?
I mean, you act like a. You act like
I thought. I mean, the way you've been talking about it, I thought you'd be like top 100.
Don't say that.
You should hear her talk about Kobe, man.
I'm a Laker hater. I obviously respect the game of basketball. I love what Kobe has done for the game. I have all reverence to Michael Jordan and the Bulls, and I'm hanging my hat on that. I'm hanging on to that. I can't let that go. But he's definitely top five. I've never dissed Kobe's talent now,
but,
Josh. Really?
What? Well, we're gonna bring up the replay.
Pull the tape.
We're gonna pull it.
Pull the tape.
Okay.
You know
what
I mean? We'll pull it.
Well, when it comes to Kobe, I think one of the greatest aspects of him as a player is his work ethic. He's one of the hardest working players ever. Yes. And even he just had an interview with Robin Roberts for Good Morning America, and he was just to see his passion for the game. Like, he's struggling. Every break that he gets, he's putting so much energy in trying to get his body ready to go for the next quarter. And I think that just shows so much of his character. It's like, damn, like, he loves the game so much that he's going to push his body to the limit to play. And I think as a fan, since I was a little girl, that's what I respect. That's that's a legend to me. That's someone who I admire.
Yeah.
So I think he's definitely going to be top five of all time.
Top eight.
I mean, top five. I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's honestly, I see Michael Jordan and then Kobe Bryant. I mean, I don't really see anybody else. I mean, you know, you can talk about retired players once LeBron James leaves. You can say, okay, that two spot is definitely up for debate. You can probably throw Curry in there, too, down the line. Yeah. But he hasn't done enough.
Yeah. Right.
He hasn't done enough to gain that respect right now. So right now, I say absolutely. I say number two. I mean, it's nobody.
Right.
I don't see anybody else that's even competing with that.
Okay. Bobby, what you think?
Yeah, Kobe is definitely top five.
Top five.
Definitely. I mean, what she said, just the way he approached the game, like everything he's put into it. Like, when you look at Kobe, everybody look at him now, they see, like, he just worked so hard for the game. All the championships, that's cool. But, like, the passion and everything he's invested into the game, that's what you want an NBA player to embody. That's why you pay to see these guys play.
Right. Well, I don't know if you saw it. We put up a picture of you. We put up that picture, right?
Yeah,
you guarding Kobe earlier.
You know what? What's crazy is I had been around NBA superstars for a while, playing on the AAU circuit.
Uh-huh.
So I had met LeBron and guys like that, and I was playing on LeBron's team.
Right.
But the one person, when I finally got to play against him in the NBA, that I got a little starstruck by, like, oh, shit, that's Kobe. Like, it was him, you know what I'm saying? And I actually stripped the ball from him.
Aww.
Like,
hey,
when I stripped it and I caught it out, like, oh, like, what do I do now? You know what I'm saying?
But
he was the one guy. He was the one guy when we finally played the Lakers, and they built it up because it was Kobe and LeBron.
Yeah.
And so when I finally saw him, I was like, man, it's Kobe. So, yeah, that's my biggest Kobe memory.
How hard was it to guard?
I mean, Kobe.
I mean, you stripped him, but I mean that.
Nah, that was like later on in the game. That was after he had hit a couple fadeaways. Did his Kobe thing. He still did that. But it was tough. Like, Kobe, he's Kobe, and even in your scouting report, when you're getting ready to play against Kobe, it's Kobe's gonna get his shots. Just make it tough. You know what I'm saying? Some people in the NBA, you're not going to stop them because the rules don't even allow you to put your hands on guys.
Mm-hmm.
And when a guy's that talented, you just got to do the best you can to slow him down.
I have a Kobe question for you. I don't know if they've decided it or not, but should they retire the 8 or the 24?
I saw that. I saw a picture of that.
Both.
Mm. Oh, damn, that's a really tough question because I grew up with the Fro and a little bit of the Fro.
Yeah.
Like the
Crazy Eights, the Adidas and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he also won the championships with the 24 too, so I can't answer that question.
Come on, you got to pick one.
Oh, Kobe, when I think of Kobe, I guess now, because it's now, I would say the 24.
Okay.
I say they should retire 31 because if you add 24 and 8, you know what I'm saying? Oh, no, really, man. I don't care who they retire. I don't care the number. I mean, retire both of them. He's one of the greatest players ever to play the game. Just show him some respect, and they will. And however they decide to do it, it's going to be a great tribute.
For sure.
I think I'm going to go with 8. I mean, that old school Kobe, like his athleticism, him and Shaq, like that was his, I think, I would say that that's his prime when he was when he was wearing number 8. But I mean, if they can do both, that would be cool.
Yeah, I think they can do both. They got to take one. I think I would say 8.
It's prime.
I mean, the only reason why you say 24 is because 8 looks different now. Because I've seen 24 lately.
Yeah.
But she was right about when he was wearing 8.
But he did win 2 championships with 24.
Yeah,
he won 3 with 8 and 2 with 24.
What you think, Jay?
I would say 24. 24. But then I would also say, will he get a statue?
Oh, of course.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. So nobody agreed with 32?
Yeah. No, 30.
Can't do 32.
Cold.
We can't do 32.
Cold.
Already taken.
Sorry.
Yeah, we got to keep it away from that. That's magic.
Yeah, that's magic. You can't take that 24. But at this point, where does Kobe go now? Where do you see him going post-career? As far as what's he going to do? What's next?
buy real estate, buy and sell real estate. I don't know. I mean, he's not going to be a commentator. He's not.
I couldn't see him being a commentator. He's not going to be. He's too competitive for that. Like, he'll want to go out there and be like, hold on, let me get in this game because you guys aren't doing it right. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
I don't see him as a commentator.
Boobie, what do you think? What do you think his next move is? Kobe's next move post Lakers?
I don't know. Jordan did the GM thing. I mean, I just invest. You know, Kobe is Kobe. He's a Nike ambassador. Mm-hmm. You know, he's still going to have that. I can't see it. Kobe Kobe to me. He's going to always be the ball player, so I can't see anything past that.
Oh, but if he want to do a rap career, though.
That's
he
true. Tried. He was a rapper before. He
invested. You can't put him in the basketball box.
See, what? That's the one problem that I have with Kobe. He's making this hard for me.
You can't just put him in the basketball box.
Hey, right now, like, if Kobe come up in here like, Boobie, man, I got to get in on that EP, dog. Let me get on that EP, dog. You bought that life, you going to let him slide on the EP.
He Kobe.
He can slide on the EP.
In other words, yes.
Nasty.
How much time we got? What are we looking like?
Would you rather? That's four game. Questions. Yeah, we'll do the game.
Okay, so we're gonna have some fun now. We're gonna play a would you rather questions game.
Okay.
So we usually quiz our guests. The subjects can be from basketball to music to hobbies, anything. So we all have our questions, and you can just give us your answer. Okay.
Which way we're gonna, go? I want to take that one we had in common.
Okay, so I'll start.
You can start. Yes,
I'll start. So my question: would you rather make a hit with Drake or Chris Brown?
Mm. Oh, sheesh, Chris Brown.
Okay.
I would. They both are for the ladies, which is my audience as well. But yeah, Chris, he can do the hook and I can do the verse. Me and Drake have a little conflict on the verses.
Okay.
I can't give Drake all the verses.
Okay, I have another music one. Would you rather someone compare your rap career to Biggie or to Jay-Z?
Jay.
Okay.
And the reason why is because he's taking it to the next level. So career meaning I want to keep going. Biggie never got the opportunity, so that's why I roll with Jay.
Would you rather win a Grammy or a NBA championship?
You didn't write that on the sheet, did you?
Huh?
You didn't write that on the sheet.
No, I got it on the sheet.
I have a Grammy. If you want.
A Grammy.
You really win a Grammy?
Yeah. I went to the finals with Bron.
Uh-huh.
I experienced that. That would have been amazing. But because that chapter is closed, it's time to go win a Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead, Jay.
All right, brother. I noticed that when you first came in, brother, you changed your shirt, brother. And, you know, I guess you was eating and it got real and that happens, all right?
Yeah.
So I got a question for you, brother. Would you rather have dirty shoes, a dirty shirt?
With a pizza stain
but
on
you got either way it go, you gotta be on TV and your whole persona, your whole outfit gonna be seen. Like, would you rather have a little stain on the shirt or just some dirty kicks?
That's like, good question.
Got the kicks from man.
Like he been playing in the playground with
the
dirt.
I put out my looks together. My kicks is everything, so I had to figure out how to make the stain make sense. You know what I'm saying? So. No stain on the shoes, dirty shirt.
Dirty shirt.
Well, you did change your shirt,
so I'm disappointed now, brother.
The reason why I changed is because I had been filmed already in the other attire.
Okay.
So I wanted to change it up a little bit.
The celebrity stuff. The typical celebrity stuff.
The switch,
2 or 3 interviews a day and all that good stuff.
Right. Are we done with that? Or do we want to go one more round?
Do you want to go another round?
Yeah. Before we go another round, let's hear about that BHL live read.
Okay.
What the BHL the DraftKings?
We did it.
Yeah, I think the DraftKings or the DraftKings library. You want us to do the DraftKings library again? I'll do it again.
Never mind.
Oh, we
okay. I was like, we can talk.
Say, man, we be on our stuff up here, man.
We
did that.
Let's see. Let's go. Would you rather have light liquor or dark liquor?
Patron is considered what?
Light. Yeah.
It's tequila. I'm a Patron, man.
Patron. Okay.
Straight
Patron,
to the
Patron.
Face. No chase.
Okay.
Bars.
This wasn't on the list.
This wasn't.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Would you rather a signature shoe or number one album?
A signature shoe or a number one album?
Oh.
I go with a signature shoe.
You go with a shoe?
I go with a signature shoe because I don't put
boobies.
I just don't put
I like that boobies.
I don't put like right now with the way I'm making music and the way I'm going about it, I don't put the onus on it being a number one because that's kinda you know,
yeah.
I'ma have my select fans, the people that rock with me, and if I don't ever make it to number one, that don't mean I'm not successful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So my signature shoe though, you ain't gonna have them shoes on, though.
Air boobies.
I got something for you, brother.
Yeah.
You know, so if you had to go 3 months without one of these things, would you rather go 3 months without your phone, or would you rather go 3 months without a haircut and no hat?
Well, we going straight. That phone is out of the equation. I can't take it. If I don't have my hair cut, I turn into a totally different person, and they can tell you I'm not the same person when I don't got a haircut. So I gotta stay fresh. That phone.
Oh, so the phone can go.
It got to go. And I'll be trying to get rid of my phone anyway because I feel like it's too distracting. Right?
For sure.
Okay.
Too distracting.
This is kind of bizarre, but this is because these are two of my fears. Would you rather be trapped in a room a 5x7 room with 1,000 flying cockroaches.
1,000? You wouldn't be able to see. Like, what is in that this? Small room, you couldn't see that.
Fear factor.
Okay.
1,000?
Or 20 oversized rats, New York City. Which one would you rather?
You know what? I'm from Texas, so I done seen a cockroach or two. I'm finna get in that room with them cockroaches. We is not dealing with rats.
Okay.
Bad experience. I tried to. When I was younger, we wasn't in the best situation. I'm going to get a little graphic.
Okay.
And I tried to step on one. You realize I don't think they got bones.
Oh.
Rats don't got bones.
So I'm trying to step on a rat.
Yeah. I tried to get in my. I had shoes on.
You got to kick a rat.
I tried to get it out the crib, and I tried to step, and he kept going. It wasn't no. I smashed him down, and he kept going. And that scarred me for life. I can't.
Just kept going.
Okay.
Rats, I can't do it. If it's me and my girl in the crib, and it's a rat in there, we both on the table.
Okay.
I just want to do a Houston PSA. Now, we are not known for cockroaches or anything like that.
You're talking about since I'm from Houston, man.
Nah, I said Texas, man.
Texas is the home of the cockroaches,
the
man, and DJ Screw.
Capital.
We, you know, it's not cockroach capital.
I'm saying. It's a little country down there, so you probably seen one.
I done slept with a few of them.
You said the cockroach capital.
What do they have in Texas? Is it like armadillos?
They got
like
everything.
Porcupines.
They got everything.
It's possums. There we go.
They don't come out there. Prince's chicken. They don't come out there, brother.
Yeah. It's not country as my voice make it seem. It's not that bad.
I don't know about that, booby. I don't know. I'm from the South, too. You got some animals.
It goes down.
That's the game. You want to wrap us up?
Man, well, it's been fun. It's been super fun, man. We're excited. We appreciate you coming, Mr. Booby. Daniels, please, guys, look out for the, we got the EP coming out soon. Can't give us a date yet, or can you say just soon? Or?
I can't give you a date, but I really want it to drop at the top of the year, you know, because it's going to be a new year for me, and I want it to begin like that. So I'm trying to get it ready by the top of the year.
Absolutely. Right. And we got Keep Pushing right now on your SoundCloud, right? Now tell them, is it a specific name for the SoundCloud? Something they need to check out?
SoundCloud is Boobies. That's BOOBYS _world.
Okay.
And that's where you can
tell them your Instagram and your Twitter real quick.
Anytime I drop my music, that's Booby Gang is the Instagram. And Boobies World 1 is my Twitter. And anything y'all want to find on me is on my website. And that's at boobiesworld.com.
There you go.
Well, that is a wrap. You know what it is. Black Hollywood Live, the branded athlete. I'm one of your hosts, Andre Dean, Andre the Giant, AUNDRETHAGIANT on Twitter and Instagram. We got the lovely
Erica Renee Davis, Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, Snapchat at Erica Renee D.
Lovely.
And I'm Raina Ale. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina _Ale.
And I'm Joshua Johnson. Find me on Instagram, Twitter, Periscope at JJ the Talented.
And follow Black Hollywood Live on Instagram at the I'm sorry, follow The Branded Athlete at The Branded Athlete on Instagram and follow Black Hollywood Live at BHL Online. Until next Thursday night at 7, guys. See ya. And thank you, Booby.
Thank you.
Following everything. Y'all make sure y'all follow y'all dreams. You did.
All right.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Christian, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.